May we be helped to commence the worship of God this evening by singing hymn number 988 to tune Buckland 450. Hymn number 988. Happiness, thou lovely name, where's thy seat? Oh, tell me where. Learning, pleasure, wealth and fame all cry out, it is not here. Not the wisdom of the wise can inform me where it lies. Not the grandeur of the great can the bliss I seek create. Hymn number 988 to Tim Buckland, 450.
Amen.
together from the most holy word of God, two chapters out of Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. We'll read chapters 4 and 7. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapters 4 and 7. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labour therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And then chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first, being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I say, and as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest for ever, after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before, for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as it as not without an oath, he was made a priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest for ever, after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth for ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of an oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated for evermore. May the Lord be pleased to bless those portions of his most holy word and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most kind and gracious God, Once more thou hast spared our unworthy lives even to this Sabbath evening to gather once again in thy courts for prayer and praise and worship of thee and all that might be so. Lord, we plead that it might be that wrought in each one's heart by thee, that we desire to go up to the house of the Lord. Ah, yes, and to worship thee in spirit and in truth. But we know in and of ourselves, ah, yes, by nature, we see no beauty in thee that we should desire thee. But all that might be that wrought in our hearts by the Spirit, that we know a little of that whereby those Greeks, their desire was, we would see Jesus. Sir, we would see Jesus. And perhaps like that woman we referred to in our reading this morning in the prayer meeting, they come with a desire in their heart, a desire in their heart because of the need. And perhaps they've sought well elsewhere, sought to patch up their own inglorious righteousness. And they found they had sin to sin, sin to sin. Like that woman, 12 years with that infirmity, and she sought help of many physicians and spent her all, and rather grew worse. And her desire was, if I may but touch the hem of his clothes, his garment, oh, if I may but touch that garment, I shall be made whole. But oh, there is a crowd about him, and so, Lord, we plead, perhaps one or another has come up to thy courts this night, and that is their desire, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. But they find within and without a crowd, a noisy crowd, crowds of doubts and fears, crowds of that which is the old nature within, and Satan without, and it one thing after another seeks to prevent, or distract, or turn aside, or push out of the way, as it were. Lord, we plead. There might be that pressing toward the mark, and by faith venturing on. Ah, yes, and that woman, she ventured on, did she not? Notwithstanding all the crowds and the hindrances, and she touched the hem of thy garment, and there was that virtue that flowed forth to her healing. And may they likewise prove there's that virtue that flows forth from one, that good physician, that great physician, to heal the sin-sick soul. And so, Lord, we plead, hear and answer one or another's cry. And perhaps, like also in the prayer meeting, there were those that had that concern for one, their daughter. And Lord, thou knowest even one or another here. And we have this one or that one laid upon our minds, whether it is family members or otherwise. Oh, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so they bear them before thee. Often think of that case in thy word where they carry them up, carry that afflicted one up, and even let him down through the roof. Oh, they let him down through the roof. Ah, may it likewise be in our hearts also to pray for one or another, and to bear their burdens and bring them before thee. Ah, even those hard cases, those desperate cases. Ah, yes, and perhaps the old adversary says, well, they're dead. There's nothing can be done. They're twice dead. There's certainly nothing can be done. They're beyond the help of anyone, and beyond the help of one to save. But all, as we read in that in the prayer meeting this morning, ah, yes, he put them all out. Thou didst put them all out. Those that scoffed and spake in such a way. Ah, and what was wrought that day? Ah, thou didst raise up that damsel, didst thou not? She is restored once again to life. Yes, and thou art the same yesterday, today and forever. And thou art able even in our day to restore life to one or another that seems to be completely spiritually dead. Unconcerned, unmoved, their heart is hard. The hardest piece of stone. But no heart is too hard for thee to break. Lord, we plead that it might be so. But do remember us as we've gathered. Lord, we've been favoured to gather again this night. Lord, may it please thee. We may see none other save Jesus only in our midst. And so we plead that it might be that view by faith of a precious Christ, risen indeed. Ah, not just viewing an empty tomb, but one raised again for our justification. Ah, that one that truly has accomplished all in the sinner's room, place, and stead. And it pleased the Father, and is now ascended on high and waits to be gracious, and the voice of our cry will answer. And so we plead, do we know each one to cast their burden upon thee, to cast their cares upon thee, to seek thy face in all things. And we will bear before the young, the little ones. Lord, remember them in this dark and evil world. Watch over them, we plead, hedge them about, and put in their hearts whilst young in years thy fear. There might be in that time appointed the tender fear of the Lord, that which is that filial fear, which is true love. And remember those that are going on into life and all that concerns them. And no doubt at times they find many an anxious thought. Ah, yes, and many a mountain in the way, and darksome paths, and trying scenes. Lord, likewise, in them to cast their burdens upon thee. Oh, do remember them, we plead. And do remember our young friend here in that time appointed in well, if each spared, when they are joined together in matrimony. Lord, remember them in all this, we plead. And go before them in all that still has to be done. May they likewise prove in that day and those days as are spared that thou art that one upon whom help is laid. And so do remember them also. Remember each in the midst of life that bear the heat and burden of the day, and perhaps they find there's a thought as regard the morrow. We cannot always leave the morrow alone, our mind won't. And sometimes we're brought to this, the what ifs and the what maybes, and the dark lowering and the mountains that seem to oppress and stand before us as those insurmountable things. Things hard to be understood. Lord, do go before and manage all by the way unto the end. Make those mountains flow down at thy presence. Make those dark places light and those rough places plain. Govern all for us each, Lord, we plead. Ah, yes, each one in the midst of life, and that is, well, it takes it every age, does it not, from the very youngest to the oldest of us here, a path which thou hast appointed. And yes, we prove we not that it is through much tribulation ye shall enter the kingdom. But what do we likewise prove? The abundance of thy grace, that sustaining grace, upholding grace, all-sufficient grace. And we would plead that it might be even unto one or another, that which is before them, that which oppresses them and distresses them, and brings many an anxious thought. Oh, may they be upheld by thy grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Once again, do remember, Lord, we plead those in their afflictions. We think of her dear Beryl in her home. Lord, remember her there. Favour in her soul. Draw near unto her. May she feel those everlasting arms. Ah, the God of Jeshurun, who write upon the heaven in thy help, and his excellency upon the skies. And Lord, remember also our dear brother Ray. We thank thee for that measure of help even this day. Ah, Hast thou not in that been better to him than all his fears? Lord, we plead there might be so this night, strengthening and enabling grace. Oh, do go on to heal and restore to that measure of strength once again, according to thy good pleasure, in thy time and way. Ah, the hymn writer put it like this, did he not? All must come, and last and end, as shall please our heavenly friend. Yes, thou art the sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise. And may there be approving in all these afflictions and trials and difficulties, with all its pain and anxiety. Lord, may we prove that it's amongst those all things, not out of place. Yes, our carnal reasoning says it's out of place. We don't want it. Ah, yes, but it's according to thy good pleasure. Thou hast purposed it. Ah, yes, it's amongst those all. May there be approving yet. It's amongst those all things that work together for good to them that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. And so we plead thy sanctifying influence on all these things, and for oneself also. Oh, we find when affliction comes and pain is evident and felt, we kick and struggle like the bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Ah, but all must come, and last and end, as shall please our heavenly friend. And may we prove in it all a blessed comforter. May we prove in all that one that truly understands our frame. Ah, for he took part of the same, and is able to succour and strengthen and uphold and keep. And so we plead to help each one and any in their afflictions and trials and those things which, yes, thou dost bring upon this one or that one in their path, which is in the body or circumstance. Or we often think of the trial of Job and that trial of his faith. It was in his family, was it not? In his circumstances and in his own body. But oh, what a mercy. He could say in the midst of it all, he knoweth. His God knows the way, knew the way. He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Oh, but it was a darksome path, and he couldn't perceive thee upon his right hand or left, behind or before. But, yes, he knoweth. He knoweth the end from the beginning. And blessed be God, thou dost. And so do remember each one. Do remember thy true church, and we plead in this dark and evil day there might be a strengthening of those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. There might be in our day a building up according to thy most holy faith. Ah, yes, put forth thy mighty hand and arrest this one and that one in their mad career. Thou knowest where thy dead elect are, even in this town of Maidstone and the surrounding villages. Oh, hasten that time when thou wilt bring them in, smiting upon their breast and crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Bring back the prodigals, O Lord. Ah, the wayward. Ah, yes, those that have turned the back and not the face. They've gone away from thee as far as sheep can run. But thine arm is not short and it cannot save. And blessed be God, it can save unto the uttermost. Oh, bring them to that time of need, Lord, we plead. They might yet know it is to smite upon their breast and cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so we plead to build up Zion. Yes, and maybe yet see in our day, not just chapels closing, but chapels being built, if it could please. But we would not despise the day of small things. And we know that day, we live in a day when there's a falling away. We live in a day when evil men and seducers wax worse and worse. Men are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Oh, we plead. Ah, if it could please him. even as a nation, thou hast turned us once again, and we shall be turned. Ah, cause the dead to hear thy voice. And through those things which we see in the nation and nations of the earth, it might cause this one or that one to question as regards their latter end, to consider their latter end. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? How is it whilst life shall last? And how will it be when called to die? But oh, it brings us each to this, does it not? Ah, yes, those solemn searching words. Many are called and few are chosen. But oh, we might be found amongst those chosen in eternity past and called in time, wrought upon by the Spirit. But all those lines come to our mind. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face, for thy Spirit has Spirit must a work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothe and wash me in his blood, so shall lift my head with joy among the sons of God. And we would not forget others in their afflictions. We think of our brother-in-law Robert. Lord, thou knowest his need still, and we plead with us, go on to be gracious unto him, and yet restore him, they might be found once again amongst his own people, as that under shepherd there, and also upon the walls of Zion. But any others afflicted, we plead for them. But oh, we thank thee for thy mercies and thy favours. Can we not each say hitherto, ah, thou hast bestowed many blessings upon us. Our paths are strewn with thy mercies. May we not let any of thy mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness, and without praises die. So to know is to praise thy great and holy name. And we have to say this, we're not worthy. We're not worthy of the least of thy notice. But oh, we plead. We're brought to this, we plead for Jesus' sake. Pleading his worthy name, that name is above every name. We're unworthy. But thou art worthy to be praised. Ah, and hast thou not given them wonderful provision, that we might be found amongst those that cry unto the Lord, that seek thy face, that, as we read that chapter even this night, ah, the bounties of thy grace and thy sustaining grace, ah, that there is that one that ever liveth. Ah, yes, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may find grace to help, find mercy and grace to help in time of need. So to enable that, gives that enabling grace and the moving of the Spirit to call upon thee in our days of trouble. Ah, yes, and have to confess our sins, and even come to that, and we are unworthy of the least of thy notice. But we plead for Jesus' sake. We plead that worthy name, that name which is above every name. And we would seek to bow before thee. And so do help us now this night. Bless us each together. Do us each good. And send none empty away. A crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave. I'm worthy to be fed. With dainties such as angels have, and with the children's bread. But all we plead is, oh, there might be favour with a crumb. We're no more than the dogs that eat to the crumbs that fall from the master's table. That dog that often returns to its vomit. The truth, Lord, the dogs eat to the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Oh, do grant unto our few poor sinners this night that crumb that may fall from the master's table. And if it could please thee, ah, yes, lead into the banqueting house, where thy banner over them is love. And now we would seek thy help and fall into thy hands. Lord, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Do grant unto this poor sinner now, pouring in, we may pour out, and may we prove that a portion for seven, and a portion for eight. Oh, if it could please thee, do remember us then, just a few poor sinners, but oh, satisfy us with thy goodness and sin and empty away. We plead then for the pardon of every sin and all we've asked amiss. We plead for Christ's sake and his sake alone. Amen. May the Lord help us in further singing hymn number 487 to tune Sabbath Eve 919. Hymn number 487. Christians, dismiss your fear. Let hope and joy succeed. The great good news with gladness hear. The Lord is risen indeed. The shades of death withdrawn. His eyes their beams display. So wakes the sun when rosy dawn unbars the gates of day. Hymn number 487 to tune Sabbath Eve 919. Thank you. seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to Paul's epistle to the Hebrews and the seventh chapter. The seventh chapter, and if I can lay my eyes upon the portion, yes, the portion in verse 25, seeing he ever liveth. But the whole verse reads, well, we'll go back to verse 24, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Ah, ever liveth. And what a mercy, as we try to speak this day. Ah, the grave could not hold him. That which he hath accomplished upon the cross at Calvary, through that finished work, by the offering of himself once and for all as that perfect sacrifice. Yes, and with his dying breath, he cried out, did he not, that it is finished. And the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. And was it not that ushering in of that new and living way, whereby poor sinners may approach unto God? No more sacrifice for sin. No more offerings daily. Ah, yes, what a mercy. All that was done away, that which was of the old dispensation, was but a type and a shadow of that which was to come. None of that blood of those bulls and goats on Jewish altar slain could atone for any sin. But those that were wrought upon by the Spirit, they saw beyond the sign, and they saw the substance, which was Christ yet to come. But a type and a shadow. But we live in gospel days. That has been accomplished, that which the prophets foretold. It has been accomplished. And now, what a mercy. He ever liveth. That is the poor sinner, the poor sinner's hope, as he journeys on in his vale of tears. When he has that path appointed for him, he finds, is it not, according to the word of God, it is through much tribulation that he shall enter the kingdom. But there is one that waits to be gracious, and that the voice of their cry will answer them. Oh, as we finished at Braeburn this afternoon, the hymn we had to conclude with, but oh, what a mercy. And it seemed to remain with me. And certainly on the journey down there, my mind went to that regarding one that ever liveth, raised again for the sinner's justification, but now ascended on high as their glorious high priest, having gone in through that rent veil, not without blood, but with his own heart's blood. Yes, the high priest of old, when he went in yearly to make sacrifice for his sins and the sins of the people, he couldn't go into the holiest through the veil without the blood of the sacrifice. Ah, types and shadows of that which is to come. And as we said just now, when the Lord Jesus Christ cried out with a loud voice, it is finished, and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. No man took his life from him. He freely gave it. And did not those that come round to hasten the death of them all, because it was that feast day, was it not, and the Passover that was before, as it coming, as it were, before them, and they wanted it all out of the way, and they wanted to hasten the death of them all. No man took his life from him. They break the legs of the malefactors who are crucified upon each side of the Lord. And they saw the Lord Jesus Christ was dead already. Gave his life freely. Gave his life freely. And in that day, was it not that cruel spear thrust into his side? And forthwith came the blood and the water. The veil was rent. And that as our glorious high priest entered in there, after the order of Melchizedek, no beginning or end, entered in through that veil with his own heart's blood, that which is efficacious, not like the blood of bulls and goats which cannot atone for any sin, but that efficacious blood of the Lamb of God, which is Christ. That's the hope of the Lord's people, is it not? But that his blood was shed for me. Oh, may that be your desire, that you might know and taste and feel and handle of these precious truths. And to taste it is gracious. As I said, we journeyed down to Brabourne, the very consideration, meditation, one that ever liveth. What a mercy, one that ever liveth. And then we close with this hymn 117. May we prove it, each one of us. The poor worm Jacobs, they shall prove it. May we be found amongst those worm Jacobs that often know what it is to fear and tremble, often know what it is to say at times, all these things are against me. Dear old Jacob, he knew what it was to come to such a point. He thought his grey hairs would be brought down to the grave in sorrow. I felt in that way when I thought about Jacob. All his hope was lost. His hope was lost. Sometimes we're brought there. But Jacob's hope was not lost. He was not cast off. He was not cast off. And he proved, did he not, that the Lord was gracious unto him. But you read that hymn 117, may you likewise prove it. Awake, sweet gratitude, and sing the ascended Saviour's love. Sing how he lives to carry on. And that's a thought, a blessed thought, a wonderful thought. Sing how he lives to carry on his people's cause above. Yes, these things are not just speculation or idle tales. The Lord's people prove it. Blessed be God, they prove it. But where do you prove it? In tribulation. You prove it in the fires and the floods and the deep paths and the darknesses. You prove it when you're brought into those trials and scenes of life. That's where the Lord's people prove there's a one that waits to be gracious. One that ever liveth. I know I've said before, but that chapter 4, as well as chapter 2 in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, but certainly chapter 4, have you proved that where we read at the end of that chapter, this one that ever liveth. Yes, ever liveth. And yes, their cause is all known to him. Their path, he knows it all. And yes, where you're brought at times of this, when the Spirit moves within, when troubles and trials come, then they cried unto the Lord. Goes back to that Psalm 107. Then they cried unto the Lord in their troubles. And what do we read in that Psalm 107? They were never forsaken. The Lord did not turn, as it were, we want to speak reverently, but like man might turn a deaf ear to the entreaties of one or another. But one that his ear is ever open unto their cry. And blessed be God, that one that's whose ear is ever open unto their cry. He took part of the same frame And oh, how that's been to the joy and rejoicing of my soul many a time. The very thought of it, that one condescended. The eternal Son, God the Son, one that ever was with the Father, condescended to take upon himself a body and nature like unto our own, yet without sin, made under the law, so he could satisfy it in your room place instead of mine. Our hell deserving sinners. Oh, you may say, well, I haven't sinned like others. Well, perhaps some of us might think, well, we haven't sinned like others and been left to go into those depths. But we've each come forth from the womb speaking lies. We were conceived in sin. Ah, did not the apostle say that we're all concluded under sin? I believe it's in Galatians. Concluded under sin. No, not one is good. We have need of a Saviour. And in the purposes of, in the counsels of eternity, and the purpose of grace, there was that wrought out. The eternal Son. Yes. Should take upon himself that body and nature like unto our own, yet without sin. And stoop down to this lower world. Walk that lowly path. Yes. What a mercy. Walked a lowly path. And it humbles us, does it not, to consider it. To think upon it, that this one, verily God, verily man, one by whom all the worlds were created, condescended to be a man, and in that time appointed die, but walk that lowly path. Thought about it much of recent times. He said of himself, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. When we think of what provisions we have. This was the Lord of life and glory. This is the Lord of life and glory. Yes, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. And the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And oh, how he was despised and rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Walk that lowly path. Near what it was to be spoken of in, well, when we think of what some things were spoken of the Lord. We might have things spoken against us. But this is one that knew no sin, but the Lord of life and glory. He was described, was he not, as a wine bibber, gluttonous, etc. You know what the word of God records concerning what wicked men said of him. And when we think of this one that ever liveth, I went to look at it again a few days ago, tempting all points. Certainly he was. Tempted in all points like as you are. We know what temptation is. Some of us we've found trials and temptations and distresses and perplexities. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. We cannot imagine what it was to one that knew no sin. The Lord of life and glory to be so tempted of the devil. And yet it was so. Tempted in all points like as we are, all points like as you are, poor sinner. Therefore he's able to succour them that are tempted. Yes, ever liveth. He ever liveth. And all of you are found in a place where you're tempted and tried and troubled and distressed and everything seems to oppress and as it were threatened to destroy you. There's one to whom you can go. Cast your burden upon him. Seek for that grace to be upheld in it. He's able to succour them that are tempted. Yes, tempting to all points like as you are, like as I am, I have been. But all this glorious high priest and not like the high priest of old, they could not be touched with the feet of anthems. They had quite a separate life. But this glorious high priest, yes, whilst he journeyed here below and going about doing good, knew what it was to be hungered and thirsty, knew what it was to mourn with them that mourn, having he wept with them, did he not? Those sisters that wept over the loss of their brother Lazarus. Knew what it was to sit upon the well, being weary with the journey. This one that is everlasting strength. One that can bear their burdens and give them that grace to help in time of need. He knows it all. Knows your path. Took part of the same, took part of the same frame as you, yet without sin. And often think of that whereby, often quote it, but it's been precious unto this poor sinner. That one that loveth at all times, the friend that loveth at all times, a brother born for adversity. Oh, if you've proven to be so, that friend that loveth at all times, that brother born for adversity. Days of adversity. Days of distress. Yes, that friend that loveth at all times. A brother born for adversity. What adverse situations the Lord's people often come into. And they find themselves walking in. Yes, in this vale of tears. And often go back to that chapter we read in Isaiah's prophecy. Does it not speak like this? This one that ever liveth. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, waters of affliction, waters of deep trial, waters of things hard to be understood. Yes, these are waters, are they not? And they threaten to sink, destroy, overwhelm. Waves and the billows go over our head. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. One that ever liveth, this is that one that is raised again for your justification. The one that could, the grave could not hold him, had power over the grave, conquered death out of the grave, gained the victory, and now sitteth on the right hand of the Father, that waits to be gracious, and that the voice of thy cry will answer thee. When thou passest through the waters, as we said a little earlier, it is in those seasons, those times appointed, they must come and last and end, as shall please our heavenly friend. I will be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. All the wonders of it. Yes, awake, sweet gratitude, and sing. The ascended Saviour's love. Sing how he lives to carry on his people's cause above. With cries and tears he offered up his humble suit below, but with authority he asks, enthroned in glory now. Yes, those that are precious in his eyes, he bought them the price. And that was his own heart's blood. For all that come to God by him, salvation he demands, points to their names upon his breast, and spreads his wounded hands. Ah, yes, when that poor sinner had to flee unto Christ for help, for strength, for grace. Ah, yes, he comes with all his sins and all his imperfections. Yes, he had to plead that mercy and that grace. And the old adversary may say, well, look at you, how can you approach unto one? Look at your sins, he turns the accuser of the brethren, a cruel foe is the devil. Turns the accuser of the brethren, points this out and points that out, and that poor sinner trembles. But, venturing and enabling grace, he's enabled to plead for Jesus' sake. He pleads that name is above every name. He pleads that sin atoning blood. He has no other plea. Ah, have you any other plea? You'll be brought to this. You have no other plea but that thy blood was shed for me. For all that come to God by him, salvation he demands, points to their names upon his breast and spreads his wounded hands. His sweet atoning sacrifice, he gives sanction to this his claim. Father, I will that all my saints be with me where I am. Ah, yes, that which he points to. They are precious in his eyes. Since thou, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour, I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and sea before thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Ah, precious in his eyes. He'll not leave them to the hand of the enemy. He'll not leave them to sink under their fears. Ah, he'll not leave them in their days of darkness. He'll draw near as a blessed comforter. And there they shall prove this, the God of all comfort and the Father of mercies. But always we... Yes, I trust I proved it so, but what a mercy we have this recorded in Psalm 103. Ah, yes, it speaks of that salvation which came by Christ and the wondrousness of it. Ah, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. So great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Ah, that abundant mercy. Ah, that abundant mercy. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And then these verses, I know I've quoted them before, but how precious they are. Ah, yes, this is that one, verily God, verily man, made like unto his brethren. As we said a little earlier, walk that lowly path, knows all about your path and mine. Ah, yes, and there's that one that truly is able to succour and strengthen and help according to your need, like as a father pitieth his children. Ah, this one that ever liveth. Well, when we think of parents and the pity they have upon their children, yes, at times perhaps we look back with shame and we think, well, we didn't do something or do this quite in the way I should have done. But nevertheless, we trust there was that whereby we pitied our children in their times of need. And the father and the mother, the child likes to take hold of the hand and to be gathered up in the arms. To be gathered up in the arms when, yes, as that which caused them pain or sorrow or distress. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Well, I know I've said before, but know what dust is like. Dust, it can be turned this way and that way in a moment, according to the breeze that blows upon it. Doesn't take much sometimes for it to move and be blown all over the place. It cannot hold itself together. And that's how we are in our fears at times. Our fears threaten to destroy and bring us down to nothing. And destroy, yes, our faith, as it were, will perish. Our hope will perish. Ah, he knoweth our frame. He remembereth we are but dust. And yes, the blessed Spirit then moves in the poor sinner's heart. Ah, there is that moving of the Spirit. Granting of his grace. And that grace moves the Spirit and the heart of man. And they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Ah, have you had a time of need? Have you had that place where, yes, you wondered how you'll be brought through? And has it seemed so dark and desolate this way? Ah, the shepherd, this one that ever liveth, is gone before his sheep. Gone before you in all. He goeth before his sheep and he leaveth them forth without right way. If you've been brought to a time and you thought, well, how can I go on? Yes, strength weakened in the way. Ready to fall before the hand of the enemy. And feeling you to rise no more. If you prove one to be everlasting strength, an everlasting salvation, when, yes, you may be taunted of the adversary. See, where is now your hope? Where is now your hope? I've known those times when it's been so. We brought to those places, weakened the strength, brought to that emptiness and desperation. And perhaps like Mary, we see nothing but an empty tomb and darksome tomb at that. But the Lord didn't leave her, ever liveth. We often think of dear Mary, yes, the Lord was pleased to draw near unto her, was he not? He didn't leave her there, he ever liveth, risen again, appeared for her. Yes, and those comforts were restored, were they not? He called her by her name. If I can find the place. Yes, this one that ever liveth. Yes, sometimes we're brought to those places where we see nothing but an empty tomb. Where is he that died to save? Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white, white sitting, and one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Brings a poor sinner to weep when it seems, yes, it's all black despair. Well, they feel at times of near despair. But blessed be God, cast down, but not in despair, because he ever liveth. Waits to be gracious, yes, and even at those times and seasons when we find there the answer comes before we've spoken. Brought to those places where sometimes how can we speak? Can't go on, nothing to describe it anymore, we can't put it forth into words, but there is our one that pleads our case before the Father's throne in heaven, with those groanings which cannot be uttered. And yes, there are those times when we've known it likewise, where before we've spoken, well, we couldn't speak. And the Lord has heard and answered and delivered. But all those times of darkness when it is but an empty tomb. Where is he that died to save? Yes, the hymn goes like this, does it not? I no more at Mary wonder, dropping tears upon the grave. Yes, if I can find that hymn, can't remember what the number is, but oh, I no more at Mary wonder, dropping tears upon the grave, 741. I no more at Mary wonder, dropping tears upon the grave, earnest asking all around her, where is he that died to save? The hymn goes on, dying love, her heart attracted. Soon she felt his rising power. Yes, one that was raised again for a justification, knew her case. Came right where she was, in her day of darkness. He whom Mary thus affected, bids his mourners cease to weep. Spake unto her again, oh, what a mercy. That one that has called a poor sinner by name, they're precious in his eyes. Ah, yes, he comes as that blessed comforter. And once again reveals those things concerning himself, even like those two upon the Emmaus road. Ah, yes, brings to our remembrance all the words which he has spoken to us. And once again lifts up the light of his countenance. And puts a new song in the mouth. Ah, one that ever liveth. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, consoled Jesus. Ah, that sight by faith. One that ever liveth. One, yes, the grave could not hold. One that was raised again for her justification. Raised again for her justification. Ah, there was her hope. There was her joy. There was her salvation. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, or I'll take him away. Yes, for a moment her eyes were withholden. But the Lord didn't leave her there. I believe the Lord once again removed the scars from her eyes, the darkness from her path, that which caused great distress. And he saith unto her, but what love was manifest in her heart there unto the Lord? Yes, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. She longed to lay hold upon him. But what benefit, if we can put it reverently, would have been just the body of Christ? But oh, what greater benefit was it to her, when the Lord said unto her himself, one that was risen again, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, that is, which is to say, Master. Oh, the sight of a risen Saviour. Ah, to hear his voice. I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, one that ever liveth. As I said, as we went down to Brabourne, it seemed so precious and a beautiful thought indeed. As we found as worm Jacob's walking this vale of tears, and all the Lord hath appointed, when we prove again and again, one that ever liveth, one that ever liveth, when we prove again and again that friend that loveth at all times, a brother born for adversity. Ah, when we prove again and again, this one that ever liveth is our refuge and our strength in that time of trouble. Oh, blessed be God. May we each prove it. I feel I must come to a close there. But oh, what a mercy. Wherefore, yes, a poor sinner. And you'll find again and again, down through life's journey, sins. Yes, we carry about this old man of sin and death, that old body of sin and death. The apostle declared it like this, O wretched man that I am. Yes, that old nature, that body of sin and death will remain with you until the end of your days. There'll be no separation till then. And there will not be any getting better of that old man of sin. He rather grows worse. Nothing can make him better. The old man of sin is still in league with Satan. Ah, a wretched man that I am. And if you're overtaken in a sin, oh, what a mercy. Ah, yes, and it brings to my mind, if I can find it, just before we close, but oh, what a mercy. We read in John's the epistle, General John, the first epistle, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Ah, we have an advocate. An advocate. Yes, won't be without sin. And if you're found, whether thou art the man or thou art the woman. Ah, what a mercy. Ah, yes, did not the sweet psalmist of Israel, when in that day, when there was a thou art the man, and there was that he had to fall into the hands of the living God. He had to fall into the hands of the living God, if I can find that psalm. But oh, he is brought to this. Against thee, the only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Ah, yes. Against thee, the only. Be brought to this. Ah. He had need of an advocate. He had need of a glorious high priest. Ah, he is brought to plead. Like we read in this Psalm 51. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. A broken heart and a contrite spirit he will not despise. Ah, yes, and perhaps there's that fresh contracted guilt. Ah, yes, thou art the man, thou art the woman. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But oh, mercy. Mercy. Ah, and if a man says they're without sin, well, going back to the apostle again, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Ah, I believe the apostle felt that old nature down to the end of his days. But he is brought to this. But I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Lord help us to conclude by singing hymn number 72. Hymn number 72 to the tune Rauna 403. Hymn number 72, who shall the Lord's elect condemn? 'Tis God that justifies their souls, and mercy like a mighty stream o'er all their sins divinely rolls. Who shall adjudge the saints to hell? 'Tis Christ that suffered in their stead, and the salvation to fulfill. Behold him rising from the dead. He lives and sits above, forever interceding there. Who shall divide us from his love? Or what shall tempt us to despair? Hymn number 72, Tertian Rauna, 403. dear Lord, to be pleased to bless that which is of Thee. Ah, what a mercy, one ever liveth. We are dying creatures, are we not? Creatures of a day. And yet there is that one that is from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. And oh, may we prove Thou art the God of Thy people. Ah, yes, a friend of the friendless, a strength of the weak, a light that shines in darkness. Ah, that one that is that sufficiency unto His people and shall be. Ah, an all-sufficient God of all grace. Ah, He ever liveth. Oh, the wonders of it. One that truly was raised for the poor sinner's justification. And may we likewise see, like Mary did, not just the empty tomb, but that Thou hast revealed Thyself to us as that one arisen Saviour. That one that entered in through that rent veil to sit on the right hand of the Father, ever to intercede for His people those groanings which cannot be uttered, and with His own heart's blood. Oh, we plead then, do bless us each and bless Thy word and seal it upon the heart and cover the mantle of Thy forgiving love over all Thou hast heard and seen amiss. And now we plead that Thou wouldest take us to our homes in peace and safety and grant that measure of sleep of night and comfort of the night. We thank Thee for those mercies and favours which we have. And when we consider Him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. We have much to thank Thee for. Oh, we plead Thy blessing upon it then. And as we return home, may we ever have a thankful heart for all Thy mercies and Thy favours. Remember Ray, we thank Thee for that help given to him this night, even to do what he's done. Lord, we plead that there might be that measure of rest this night again, and further healing and restoring mercies. And so we will commend and commit all into Thy hands, into Thy kind care and keeping. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.